Take your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1 tonight, and as you're turning there, Brother Chase, if you wouldn't mind, Brother Sam, distributing some Bibles here for those who may have forgotten theirs or just didn't bring it with them tonight. Philippians chapter 1 will be in just a moment. When everybody gets there, I want to thank Allison for that great special, James for his hard work on the piano tonight. If you haven't noticed, we are just a little bit understaffed. In fact, none of the ladies, the youth worker ladies that are normally here, are here. That's because they're taking care of their children. And that's a great thing. They need to do that. That's a part of their ministry in the home. But I know that they were a little bummed that they don't get to be spending the evening with you guys as well. I know Miss Christina expressed that, but they're excited to be back with you at a later time. Thank you for being here. This was a little bit of an inconvenience. Our afternoon program, quite frankly, makes it easy for you to come to church because you're just here. We feed you, we take care of you, we take you out, we go visiting, and you slide right on into teen time, and then you're on your merry way. This is a little different. You had to purpose to come back and to be here, and I'm thankful that you did that. Not that Brother Chase and Brother Sam and I wouldn't have enjoyed reading this passage of Scripture. It makes all the difference in the world that you're here, though, too. So, Philippians chapter 1, I'm excited to talk about this book tonight. This is a very encouraging passage of Scripture, and I want that to be the case in your life this evening as we notice a certain principle that I intend to drive home with the minutes that we have together. Go ahead and look at Philippians chapter 1, and I want to notice verse 24. Paul here says, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Notice that word, needful. "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Verse 29, and this is our final verse, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." How many of you enjoy your independence when you get it? How many of you enjoy your independence? That's all right. You can raise your hand, okay? Give me some things about the idea of becoming independent that you like or that you enjoy. Maybe you have some independence now, something that sort of symbolizes that, and you're like, oh, I kind of like this aspect of things. Who'd be willing to share? Yeah, Kate. Schedule. How many of you that'd be kind of a neat thing if you set your own schedule? What's funny? What is it? Oh, nothing. I understand. These guys are sometimes as bad as the ladies with their giggles. Sorry, ladies, but I mean that in all the kindness of my heart. All right. How many of you say, yeah, to set my entire schedule, that would be kind of a cool thing. I just not have to factor my siblings or anything else, but I just kind of do it the way I want. Anybody else? Who else? Yeah, I saw your hand up, Zach. What is it?
I kind of like just enjoying my own stuff whenever I want.
Okay. Come on now. Give me that sweet frog and boba. All right, who else? Yeah, James. Say again? Okay, you're like, yeah, I'm doing that adulting thing. That's pretty cool. Yeah, Ethan. Okay, all right, yeah, just feel a little more independent. How many of you are driving right now? Raise your hand if you're doing some driving behind legally, okay? You're legally, all right, all you illegals, put your hand down. All right, that's a special moment. That's a special moment. I remember whenever I got my license, didn't have my learners anymore, and my parents were not sitting right next to me, and well, I was just out on the road. That was a pretty sweet feeling. I remember that. Another aspect. You had your hand up.
Driving.
Yeah, absolutely. How many of you have a job? You have a legit job? Okay. Have you enjoyed some of the independence that comes from that? You know what I'm talking about? Like you're there, you know, your parents are not, well, maybe they work with you. I don't know, at Duncan or wherever. Okay. But I remember being dropped off or driving myself as I got older and just thinking like, hey, I'm a working man now. This is kind of cool. I've got a paycheck coming in. I've got some independence here and, you know, I've sort of got my work life. Yeah, independence is a cool thing. There are things that we enjoy about being independent. And certainly at this point in your life, that is a thing that you want to be working towards, okay? I've said before, you don't want to live in your parents' basement the rest of your life, all right? You want to work towards independence. That's a natural thing. But let me say this. There are sometimes we take our independent thinking to an unhealthy level. And sometimes that begins to impact the way that we interact with the world. For instance, sometimes people can be so independent in their mindset that they're not good at accepting help. Okay, you ever been that way before? You know, and maybe you can think back to when your parents have been trying to help you to do something. And maybe you think, well, you know, they just assume that I'm dumb and don't know how to do it. And so maybe then you respond by saying, look, I don't need your help, okay? I don't need your help. I can do it myself, all right? How many of you have said this before in some way, shape, or form? You've said this, okay? All right, of course you have, all right? Sometimes we get in a situation where we become so independently minded that sometimes we're not good at accepting help. What's another drawback of being too independently minded? Well, not only that, but sometimes an independent mindset can lead to isolation. Okay, now that's an extreme, right? And the idea of, you know, well, I don't just like being around people. I like to do my own thing. But you've done that and you've gone to an unhealthy place. Okay, and this is where people oftentimes get very depressed. In COVID, we saw a lot of that. There were people who just isolated themselves and then they couldn't handle life because they're trying to handle life all by themselves. And so sometimes an independent mindset can lead to an extreme such as isolation. So not good at accepting help, isolation. And then ultimately an independent mindset, if left at an unhealthy level, can lead to someone who's just strictly focused on themselves. You know, it's about me. You know, it's not really about anybody else, but it's about what I want. It's about, you know, what I want to do in this moment, okay? And it's about nothing else. And that is an unhealthy place. The thing that you and I have to fight and be mindful of as you're moving to a place where you're growing more and more independent is avoiding the extremes that many times our flesh can take us to. And that is why I've chosen, or rather, when we look at Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 24 and following, we see here a reminder that Paul is giving to these people to beware of becoming so independently, having that type of mindset that it brings them to an unhealthy level. I want you to see tonight that this was a people group who understood some things as Paul's laying it out. So I want you to see this evening that everyone needs someone. And the verses that we just read sort of point to that fact. You say, well, that's kind of broad. Well, let's bring it more to the passage and what this passage is saying. I want you to see, first of all, that everyone needs someone to tell them the truth. Look back at verse 1, because that's really where we first see this happen. And then later on, as we get in the verses that we read, but verse 1 of Philippians chapter 1 says this: Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Okay, so this was a letter written to a specific group of people at the city of Philippi. And he was writing not just the entire city, but rather he was writing a specific church. And this church knew him very well because in Acts chapter 16, he had visited Philippi and he had planted a church. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. Turn over there with me. We won't be there long, but I want you to see a couple of verses. If you look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, you find these words, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us." Who is us? Well, it's Timothy, Paul, and Silas. "And he heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." In verse 15, "And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying," and then it goes on to describe what happens next. You can turn back to Philippians chapter 1, where we'll be in just a second. But you get the idea, okay? Paul had made a tremendous impact on these people because he simply gave them the truth of the gospel. These people believed on Christ because of his impact, the time that he took. The Bible says that Lydia attended unto these things that were spoken by Paul and Silas and Timothy. So there were things that related to Christ and the gospel that they heard, that she heard, that her whole household heard and accepted Christ as their Savior. And this is what I want us to see. I want us to see that Paul gave these people real truth. Okay? Everyone needs someone to tell them the truth. Now, I want you just for a second to put yourself in the shoes of these people of Philippi. Think about the significant impact that Paul had in your life and how he is the reason that you now have a relationship with God. I wonder, can you think back at the people who told you the truth of the gospel and sowed seeds on behalf of Christ in your heart? I wonder, can you think of that? Can you think of specific people who did that? Now, maybe it was not, you know, this person did it one time and then I got the gospel and I said, hey, this is what I need to do, and I got saved and that was it. But, you know, I can think back to specific people. I think about Mrs. Dameron. She was my first grade teacher, and I think about the influence she had on me and the things that she would tell us as a class. I think about Mrs. Embry. And I remember the Sunday school program I was a part of as a kid. You know, where is Mrs. Embry today? I have no idea. But you know what I do remember? And that is that she spoke the truth to me. I wonder how many of you this evening, how many of you would say, I remember someone specifically? Who would be willing to raise their hand and say, hey, I remember, maybe they're still in this church. But yes, Grace, who do you remember? Mrs. Pittman. Yeah, okay. Who else? Yes, Zach? Me, okay, all right, yeah. Who else? Yes. Mrs. Pittman, okay, all right. Somebody besides Mrs. Pittman, yes. Okay, fantastic, yes. Miss Christina, okay, all right, wonderful. Yep. Pastor, all right, fantastic. Hey, you know what? These people maybe were not there when you made the decision to accept Christ, but nonetheless, they're people who sowed seeds on behalf of Christ in your life. And you know what they were willing to do? They were willing to tell you the truth. Boy, that is a special thing. And that's exactly the type of person Paul was to these people at Philippi. So what do we see? We see everybody needs someone to what? To tell them the truth. And that truth is none other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul gave these people real truth. He sowed seeds on behalf of Christ. But not only that, they responded to what they heard. You see there, Lydia attended unto the things that Paul and Silas spoke unto her, and she made a decision to follow Christ. Here's the point. The point is that 99% of the time when someone gets saved, it's because of someone else who took the time to share. See, are there people that just simply get saved on their own just by reading the Bible? Yeah, absolutely they do. But most of the time, that is the minority, because most people come to Christ over a period of time of hearing the truth time and time again until they say, you know what? That makes all the sense in the world to me now. I understand that. And then they make the choice for Christ. Paul was someone that this group of people needed. And they needed someone to tell them the truth, and he certainly did. They responded to what they heard. But I want you to see back in our text, Philippians chapter 1, I want you to see number one, everyone needs someone to tell them the truth. Number two, everyone needs someone to stand with them. You say, what do you mean by that, to stand with them? Go back to verse 24, which is where we started reading. Notice the words here. It says, nevertheless, Paul speaking, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you? Well, what has he just said? Because again, if you're in part of our Sunday school studies, you understand that when we come upon a word and it points back to something else, which nevertheless does, we ought to go back and see what's happening. Well, what does he say? Verse 23, back up one verse, it says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." So here, Paul's being just very transparent with these people. He says, you know what, I cannot wait till the Lord takes me home to be with him. That's my true desire. I cannot wait to stand face to face with the Lord and all my hopes and dreams realized and spending eternity with him. He's being very transparent. But he says this, nevertheless, what is needful, what the Lord has me doing right now and why I am still here, why the Lord has not taken me home is because why? What does he say in verse 24? Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for who? It's more needful for you. And that's where we see this, the fact that everyone needs someone to stand with them. Paul says this is needful for you. These people had needs in their lives. Now, we all have needs, okay? You may from time to time grow out of your shoes. And you say, oh, it's time to buy some new shoes. How many of you like getting new shoes? Like get new shoes? Yeah, I think everybody does. You just feel fresh. Change the way you feel. It seems like my boys are growing so fast that every 6 months we're into another pair of shoes. And that's just kind of how we're doing it. So we need things. We have needs. We all have needs. But these are not physical needs that Paul is talking about. He said, it is needful for you that I abide, that I stay. And the reason is because these people had not just some type of physical need, but they had some of the greatest need that you can have, and that is that which touches our spirit. These were spiritual needs. These were deficiencies, things that they didn't realize, things that they needed to learn about Christ, the path and how to walk with the Lord. These were things that connected with their innermost being that were most important for them to know. And Paul recognized that. Paul said, listen, there's a reason why the Lord hasn't taken me on, and that is because I still have a ministry to you. So I want you to see here that these people had needs in their lives that Paul was well aware of. He said, it is needful for you. And then we see this. The only way some of these needs were going to be met was if Paul stood with them. Would you look at verse 25? Because there's a phrase here that just jumps off the pages, and it says, having this confidence, Paul had this confidence. He said, listen, this is what I know. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy in the faith. If you look there at that, I shall abide and continue with you. This has the idea to come alongside and to stay. Okay, so listen, everybody wake up who's just gone to sleep. Everybody wake up because this is important, all right? He says this, listen, it's important that I tell the truth. Number two, it's important that I stand with you and then I stay. The idea is to come alongside of someone like I am with Josiah, and then it's just to stay. It's not the idea of, okay, I'm here for a second, I'm gone, and then, no. The idea is, listen, there is some needs in your life that I want to be part of the solution to. The idea to come alongside, to be a part of, and to stay for their betterment because they had needs. You say, where are we going with this, Brother Scott? Well, stay with me. Every single one of us has a need for someone else to come alongside us and have a present influence in our lives. I want you to stop and I want you to think about who the Pauls are in your life right now. Okay, we talked about some people that we've known who've sown some seeds and that sort of thing for the gospel's sake, but who is it right now that God has put in your life to be one of those people who will come alongside and stay? Who is that in your life right now? I want you to think about this because I want to think, let's think two tiers here, okay? Primary. Who would be someone that would fit that category of primarily beside you and who's going to stay for this season of your life? Yeah.
Parents.
Yeah. Okay, that's primary, right? That's part of the umbrella of authority God, we could say, has put in your life. Okay? This is under the assumption that you have a spiritual parent in your life that can be this type of person for you. Okay, so primarily, yeah, I think this person for you at this stage in your life would be your parents. Okay, who would be secondary though? Maybe beyond that. David? Okay, all right. Teachers? Okay, yeah. Savannah? Say again. Youth leaders? Sure, sure. Grace? Say again. Yeah? Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep. Kate? Yeah, uh-huh, right? And the key here, though, we're talking about is spiritual, right? Okay, people who fit that category of who can minister to your spirit as Paul ministered to the spirit of the people at Philippi here. Okay, so these are the Pauls in our lives, okay? Your parents, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a youth worker, maybe it's someone who can stand and be beside you and to help you as Paul helped the people at Philippi. So what have we seen? We've seen here, everyone needs someone to do what? Number one, to tell them the truth. Many of you in this room have received Christ. You've heard the truth and you've accepted that for yourself. Well, what else? We see everyone needs someone to speak truth. Everyone needs someone to stand with them. And what I want you to see last of all tonight is everyone needs someone to get specific. Everyone needs someone to get specific. Okay, so we've identified this group. We've identified the Pauls in our lives, so to speak. We've identified what work that can be done through a Paul. But let's move from the general to specific, because what I find, there are oftentimes that in concept, I enjoy something in general, but when it moves to specific, not so much. For instance, when I'm driving down the road and I see a car fly past me and I see the blue light special, you know, track them down. In concept, I love that. Like, hey, get them. But when it gets personal, I don't like it so much anymore. You follow what I'm saying? As long as it's happening to somebody else, but if it's happening to me, I don't like it so much. Guys and girls, we have sports teams here, right? Volleyball, soccer. If the coach looks at the team and says, team, as Brother Reza would say, it's time to step up, right? Now listen, in concept, ladies, you'll just never know. I'm sorry. You will never know unless we have a girls' soccer team. Then you'll get to be blessed like these guys here and hear the inspirational speeches. But listen, let's say in concept, you are frustrated because you know the team needs to step up, right? This is a speech that the team needs to hear. Until he looks at us as an individual and says, you need to step up. Well, then that takes on something totally different. I kind of liked it when it was about everybody else, right? Hey, in general, we tend to like some things. We like some concepts, but sometimes when it moves from the general to the specific, well, we start getting our toes stepped on. What Paul is doing here is he's about to step on some toes in regards to the Philippian people. And sometimes that happens with us as well when the Pauls that are in our lives move from general to specific with us. Let me give you some of the specifics because it's all here for us. Notice how specific he gets. Notice number one. Look at verse. Verse number 26. Verse number 25. I know that I shall abide and continue with you, right, for your furtherance and joy of faith. Okay, so I want you to see number one, as he's moving from general to specific, what specific things did they need Paul for? Well, he was going to help them identify some things that they had a need to move forward and not backward. You notice that word furtherance there. The idea of furtherance is two Greek words that is put together. It means to cut down in order to advance. Okay? So Paul says, listen, there is a need in your life for me to stand here with you because there could be a tendency to go backwards instead of forwards, or a tendency to stagnate when you need to move on ahead. Again, you may picture the idea of someone trying to clear something with a massive boulder in the way. They get to a point where they're not moving forward because they can't do the job effectively because there is a boulder in the way. Maybe they've not identified the boulder and they just continue to hit the boulder in their just stupidity. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, I thought about removing the boulder. And the person removes the boulder, they go forward. And that's the exact picture of this idea that Paul is communicating to the Philippians of, hey, we want you to advance. Okay, there are things and times where you may not see the boulder that is prohibiting you from moving forward. And quite the same way, we may have moments in our lives when your parents, your teacher, your youth pastor, your a youth worker that you know, or an aunt, an uncle that are spiritual, comes alongside and says, hey, there's something blocking your path. Now, you know when that starts to grate on us? When we've become too independent. When we've moved to a place in our minds where we think, hey, you know what? You know how old I am now? 14. When we think we've gotten to a place where, hey, you know what? Maybe you could speak like that a while ago, but hey, I've gotten older. And listen, these are thoughts that every single teenager in this room has had. And when we get to a point where we're so independent in our mindset, we're not open to the Pauls in our life who want to say, hey, listen, the furtherance of your life is what's important. And if you're not willing to identify the things holding you back, well, you can't move forward. He was there to help them move forward. Well, what else? He was there to so that their joy would increase. Notice the tail end of verse 25 and following. He says, and the furtherance and joy of faith that verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. So again, follow the thought pattern here. Paul is saying, hey, listen, God has put me in your life because there are some needs that you have. Okay? He goes on to describe some of these needs. He says, listen, I'm here so that you can be furthered. Not only that, but I'm here so that your joy can be as full in Christ as it possibly can be. You know, at this point in your life, one of the greatest things that you can do is just absorb all of the instruction and advice that you possibly can get from spiritual leaders. People who have lived twice as long and even more than that than you have. People who know a little something about what it takes to be happy and what it takes to have your joy full in a life lived for Christ. And Paul is reminding them of his ministry to them. What else does he say? Keep reading. Verse 27, he goes on to say, only let your conversation, whenever you see conversation in the New Testament, it so often has to do with lifestyle. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That means your actions would be that of the ways of Christ. That whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together in the faith of the gospel. You say, what else is he specifically trying to encourage them about? Well, that is number three, that their lifestyle would avoid hypocritical living. You ever been tempted hypocritically? I tell my boys all the time, look, there's certain places we put our shoes. The kitchen table is not one of those, okay? The island, the kitchen counter island in the kitchen is not a place we put our shoes. The living room furniture is not a place we put our shoes. The other day, had a bunch of stuff in my hands. I was carrying it. You know what I wanted to do? And what I did? I put my shoes on the island in the kitchen. Like, who would do that? Okay. But listen, you know what? When I walked away from that, I thought, you know what? That's a hypocrite. Okay, I'm asking my boys, and I'm holding a different standard for them than I am willing to accept for me. And you know what? Every single one of us in this room has struggled with things like that. Remember, Jesus talked to the Pharisees about offering their best gifts to the Lord only in public, where people could see. It's the idea of, hey, I do my best work when everybody's watching me, right? Hey, I'm going to be the best Christian when everybody's looking at me and I have everybody's attention. We talked to them about a number of things hypocritically that can sometimes even tempt us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, talked about judging. They would judge other people so hard, but when it came to them, hey, give me mercy, please. They would look to the wrongdoing of other people and say, that is horrible, when it was just a little speck. And in their own righteousness, there was a beam. Remember Jesus talking about this? Boy, these are hypocritical ways that we all can live. And you know what? Sometimes we lose perspective like the Pharisees. And sometimes it takes a Paul, someone who sees it better than we do, someone whose ministry it is to be that kind of a help to us. But what is it in those moments that rubs us the wrong way? Boy, you can't talk to me like that. Boy, don't you know I'm getting older now. Don't you know I have more responsibility? I have a job now. You know what's happening there? We're becoming so independently mindset, having an independent mindset, that we've become out of balance, and it's an unhealthy degree. Paul reminds us here, as he moves from the general to specific, that they needed a Paul to speak to specific things in their lives. Notice the last two things and we're done. You see in verse 28 as we finish these, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them is an evident note, a token of perdition, that they would have courage in the face of their adversaries, number four. And then lastly, in verse 29, for unto you is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And the last thing here is to have patience in suffering. These are heavy things. Okay, Paul is not just, you know, just casually addressing some very heavy subjects. He's trying to remind them that part of his ministry to them was to help them work through some of these things. Now, some of these things that Paul mentioned to the church at Philippi maybe things that you struggle with, but maybe it's something else. And maybe there's someone here tonight that, instead of looking at the people who have spoken truth to you, looking at the people who have stood with you, and seeing the people who have been specific with you, maybe you've not seen them as the blessing that they are and can continue to be in your life. And when I think about that concept of someone who comes alongside and stays, there was a lady I heard about last year whose husband is in a bad place. He had some severe health problems and is basically now unresponsive, although he continues to live. This lady, he's been this way for a long time, many years. This lady has faithfully gone and sat with him every day. I don't know if he knows it, if she's there. It would seem that he doesn't benefit any way visibly from that. But yet, a wife who has this ministry that just simply wants to come alongside and stay. Okay. Listen, God has put people in your life, spiritual people, whether it's a parent, parents, a godly uncle, the list goes on. Allow these people to speak into where you are without putting up a wall of independence. The most fascinating thing about this passage to me is the fact that was Paul speaking to kids and teenagers? Is that who he was speaking to? Who is he speaking to?
Adults.
So you know what that reminds me of? Brother Scott needs people with perspective, with spiritual perspective, to speak into his life. And I ought to be able to listen. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Listen, everyone needs someone. There are people across this world that may say, you know, I don't need anybody. Well, I've got myself. I've got everything I need. And maybe there's some people in this room who have said something just as foolish. There's nothing wrong with growing up. There's nothing wrong with becoming an adult and moving in that direction. That's a part of life. That's a positive thing. But Paul's here to remind us tonight that everyone needs someone. And I hope our response this evening is not, I'm good, but Lord, thank you for the Pauls who spoke truth. Thank you, Lord, for those who have stood with me and continue to stand by me. And Lord, thank you for those who, as hard as it is to hear sometime, speak specifically to my struggles. How many of you tonight would just say, Brother Scott, it is my desire that when I'm spoken to about my specific areas of struggle, that I would be patient to listen and learn. How many of you say that by the uplifted hand? That's my heart tonight, and as I sit here before the Lord, I want to be that type of person. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen these hands, and I pray that you would be with our invitation time, and Lord, ultimately, may we receive encouragement from the church at Philippi, and remember that everyone needs someone. We ask your blessing on our invitation time. In your name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, I encourage you to come. Nobody's looking around. It's just us this evening. I encourage you to take the time to talk to the Lord. Maybe your mom or your dad has mentioned something to you lately, and you know what? You yelled at him. You lost your temper. You weren't patient in that moment. You didn't listen to what they had to say, and you walked away with a wall of independence up. Boy, tear that wall down tonight. Boy, allow yourself to be teachable, moldable to our Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the passage of Scripture that we studied tonight. Lord, may you receive the glory from what you have done. And Lord, may we be obedient to you in regards to it. In your name we pray. Amen.